On the same day of the massacre of the children in Connecticut, another occurrence happened of a different persuasion on that same day. It happened on the streets of Orlando, Florida, where an 81-year-old man was walking down the street, fell over suddenly, and passed away. As I began to read his story, I realized this was not just your typical 81-year-old man. This was a man who had lived to experience and accomplish God's purpose. His name was Jack Norman. His story is quite amazing. For Jack, he'd been married for 61 years to his wife. When they found Jack crumpled over on the sidewalk, the policeman who was called to that spot realized that his next assignment was to go into the home where his wife Arlene lived and tell her the very sad news. Well, when he arrived, he knocked on the door and Arlene answered, and the policeman said, I'm sorry to inform you. And when he finished, Arlene looked at him and said this to the police officer, "This is the day he has lived for all of his life." Let that sink in for a moment. This is the day that he has lived for all of his life. And Arlene invited the police officer in and shared the story of what Jesus can do in anyone's life. When I read his son's comment about his father, he said, "My father lived with a simple principle, love your neighbor as yourself." And he made this statement. It was more than a Sunday school lesson. It was his life goal. For the last 30 years, he's ministered to inmates at the Orange County Jail. The more I read his story, the more I realized that here was a person who really did live for that one day. I want you to imagine for a moment that you're in church today and you recognize something. We all have to live for something. Why not live for the moment that we would see Jesus face to face? Is that not a powerful thought? You see, at 81 years old, there was no more struggling walking. There was no more difficulty getting where he needed to be. He instead encountered the amazing presence of the Lord Jesus. And when I think about his wife's statement, and I think about the celebration that they had in recognition of his life, over 500 people gathered to be able to pay respects. Many inmates who'd given their hearts to Christ as a result of him doing what God had called him to do. All of it connecting into that same dynamic, a living faith. And during Christmas this year, we've been looking at words of wonder. But today, I want us to realize that Christmas, without this part of the Bible, would just be a great beginning, but not a complete story. For today, we find ourselves in John chapter 3, a text that you obviously have great familiarity with. And yet, it is at this juncture that we begin to grasp the significance of God's plan for our lives. And the amazing thing is, what Jesus really points out to us in this text is that we should all live for this day. We should all live for this moment. Today, I want you to think about, as we have our Bible open to John chapter 3, I want you to think about what is the most precious gift someone has given you that money can't buy. I've been thinking about this a lot lately just because of how many different things that we encounter in life that money can't fix things. And every time I think about this, I think about special moments that cannot be replaced but made indelible impressions on my mind. I remember the very first vivid memory I have of my grandfather. It was a snapshot, a moment, an Instagram that's etched on my heart and mind forever. Here was this tall, lanky man who found himself engulfed in the Bible as being his entire story. It's what he read. It's what he believed. That snapshot happened when I was a little bitty kid. I began to watch. And the interesting thing is that photo repeated itself over and over and over again throughout my entire lifetime until he went to be the Lord. I had the same kind of impression and experience with my mother-in-law, an amazing lady whose faith and commitment grabbed hold and spoke to me in ways I can never, ever forget. You see, she gave me a gift. She gave me a gift of unconditional love that extended beyond just the girl I was in love with, but all the way into her heart and her life. And when I think about that, I think about how oftentimes we want to measure where we're at by what someone gives us that money can buy. And the truth of the matter is, what people give us that money can't buy are the most amazing things we hang on to for a lifetime. How good is it, for example, to get a word of counsel at a critical moment? How good is it to know that someone, when they say, I'm praying for you, really is? You see, the reality is for each one of us, there are so many different things that come at us that money can't buy. We just have to be wise enough to discern what those are. And today, as we look inside of how Jesus spoke to the issue, we see, interesting enough, that there's this contrast between darkness and light. There's this appeal to connect into his love. There's an awareness of his presence at work in our lives. So that when we are finished with what it is that God has called us to do, the Bible says that it would be things that have been wrought of God. In other words, done only by God. Only God could do it. And don't you want your story to be one that's not connected to what you could do, but connected absolutely to what only he could do? And so today, when you think about a gift you've received that is absolutely priceless, think about it and analyze and ask yourself, as you think about your own journey, what is it that's come at me that I think about the span of my life that money could never buy? Special moments, special memories, special connections. And then I want to ask you before we dig into this passage, because today I want to show you four distinctive things that I pray you'll take out of church and with you on your journey of faith, especially as you encounter Christmas week. The first thing I want you to think about, though, is what do you remember most about Christmas? Because what happens oftentimes is we go back to particular memories. We go back to particular experiences. We go back to a particular encounter. And what would it be like if on this particular day, as we anticipate celebrating Christmas, what would it be like if all of a sudden a memory struck across our mind that we would never forget? Never forget. I had breakfast this week with a friend of mine who doesn't attend our church. Thank God, because of the dialogue we have. It's very interesting. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes you'll have a dialogue with someone and they'll make one statement. And when you hear it, you go, that's for me. That's for me. Well, I was fellowshipping with him, and he was telling me about a church service he'd been at with his 15-year-old son. And the service was didn't seem to be focused on thematically on what was happening at this particular time of the year, and seemed to be more deeply theological than it was applicable. And he went through all the different dynamics, and he was telling me about an encounter he had on the way home in his car with his son. And on the way home from church, his 15-year-old son looked at him and said, Dad, I didn't get a single word out of that. Well, when he said that, it just jolted me that the finest sermons ever crafted, if you don't get something out of it, then it misses the entire target in which it's been put together. And for me, I'm telling you, it just grabbed hold of me because I thought, God forbid that I would ever be so deep in study that I was more concerned with the meaning of a word than the application to the heart, where someone could look at me and say, oh, he's such a theological giant. Listen carefully. If we don't understand how Jesus works, then we will carefully find ourselves moving more towards what we think versus what we experience. And listen carefully. To figure out all that God's up to, you can be as wise as Solomon or wiser. You're not going to figure it all out. Read what he said. He couldn't get it. He couldn't grasp it. And so today, I just want to challenge you that every one of you at least walk out of here with something. And perhaps it'll be one of these qualities we look at. Because we begin with a verse that you have probably memorized from the childhood all the way through. And it's a verse that has such power and such meaning for someone who has a living faith. And what I want to emphasize to you today is that Jesus did not come to give an intellectual faith. He came to give a living faith. He did not come for someone just to intellectually assent. He came to have a transforming encounter with those that meet him. And so today at this Christmas season, as we think about the absolute transforming wonder that we can believe by faith, may we find these verses a great, great comfort to our lives. We begin reading in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and the men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But listen to this. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. I want you to imagine for a moment that all of your life story runs before you on a screen. Everything you have ever done, how many things cross across that screen that convey nothing other than your accomplishment? But then all of a sudden, across that screen comes a moment when Jesus became everything to you. And all of a sudden, everything changes on the screen. There's a story of helping somebody in need. There's a story of meeting somebody at the point of their crisis. There's a moment in which you are beseeching God to do what only He can do. All those things, the story changes because of your encounter with Him. And I think when you look at this John chapter 3, what you discover in these few short verses was Jesus wanted to make sure we didn't miss what it is that He had for our lives. For God so loved the world. And so today we look at four distinctive qualities that hopefully you'll come out of here going, you know what, I can relate to that. The first one has to do with His love, and it has to do with His incomparable love. You see, when the Bible says that God so loved us, that's a different kind of love in it than some loves we encounter. You ever had someone say, I love you, but the evidence of that was just not there? I mean, they communicated, you're valuable to me, but you were never the number one priority. It's interesting when you get to John chapter 3, because it's what he really says is, either live or lose. That's what he really says when it comes to his incomparable love, because what he's trying to say, notice how the scripture speaks to it. For God so loved that he gave his only begotten, so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, when you look at that verse, you realize something. What the text really says is that even if your body dies, if you believed in Jesus, you're going to be with him forever. And what he's saying, the concept of perishing disappears off the radar screen, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I want you to imagine for a moment today that all of a sudden it begins to dawn on you. It begins to dawn on you, and you begin to realize that God loves you. And what you have to realize is, if it is not personal, it won't be living. And if it is not living, it will not sustain you. And if it does not sustain you, then it will not empower you. And if it does not empower you, you will miss the essence of Christmas. You see, today, as you think about your own journey of faith, I want to ask you, how real is your faith? How powerful is your love? Do you feel His love, in the incomparable love of God? I don't know if you're like me, but one of the things I love the most is knowing, no matter where I'm at in life, God loves me. Isn't that a powerful thought? I mean, think about, you're going through a crisis. You're going through a challenge. All of a sudden, it hits you. He loves me. He loves me. Absolutely incomparable. Not only that, though, look at verse 17, because immediately he goes into what it is that he came to do. And what I want you to see today, secondly, is his redeeming purpose. In other words, he didn't have just the idea of coming to rescue. He came to redeem anyone who would come into a life-changing encounter with him. I mean, imagine for a moment that you're sitting here and you understand, finally, you grasp what it means to be redeemed. Look at verse 17 and notice how the scripture speaks to it. Notice how Jesus says it. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Isn't that a wonderful thought, to think of his redeeming purpose for our lives, is that we would come into a right relationship and know Christ personally, and we would have an experience of encountering him and being able to trust him completely. It's interesting, because when you look at it, you realize that what he was really saying was, I came to save, not judge. And why was this important? Because for those who were listening, they were listening for a song that would change their entire life. They were listening for a word that would transform their thought process. They were listening for a moment and they encountered life in a different light, so that they could walk away going, you know what, I get where this is at. And I think about today and this generation in which we live in, and so many conflicting messages being sent, so many different thoughts being conveyed. And what you and I need to understand is that when we look at Jesus, it is his redeeming purpose to be able to change the world that you and I need to think about at Christmas time. Because listen, the message in Jesus' name has power. I was walking by one night this week. I walked by the Salvation Army guy that was ringing the bell. By the way, I always put something in that bucket every time I walk by. because I always want to make sure that I don't miss the opportunity. But as I walked by, this young man was standing there. Now, some of them, you know, will say different things to you. This man who's standing there, and he was ringing his bell, and he said, "Merry Christmas to you." I'm sitting there thinking, you just got more money. You know, you just got more money out of this deal. Because, and I took out, and I said, you know, normally I put $1 in here, but today I'm putting 5 in here because you said the right thing. And I looked at him and said, you know what? It is all about Christ. It is all about experiencing God's provision for our lives. And I say all that to say, you know, the truth of the matter is that Scripture teaches this so vividly, especially in Proverbs, that if you have the opportunity and the capacity to make a difference in someone's life, you don't put it off till tomorrow. You take action on it today. And what you and I need to realize is that when we look at what Jesus did for us, he brought to us an incomparable love. He loved us beyond anything we could ever imagine. But not just an incomparable love. He came with a redeeming purpose. And when you think about it for a moment, who, when they would hear this, would not come away going, that's what I want. I don't want to perish, and I don't want to be judged. I want to experience what God has for me. But obviously, as you read this text, you realize that the story doesn't turn out that way, because Jesus begins to contrast the light and darkness. And that's the third thing I want you to see today. As you think about Christmas, I want you to think about our dire consequence. What happens to someone who just chooses to walk away from the message that could change their life, to walk away from the story? It's interesting. When you look across history, you see something. You see generations of people that at one moment, the light shines brightly, and then the light begins to be switched off. People begin to believe they're smarter than God. People begin to believe they can figure everything out, and as a result, darkness. Look across continents, and you'll see this. Buildings that are empty, with the exception of Christmas and Easter, missing the entire purpose in which they were built in the first place, and that was to celebrate a living faith. Instead, they suffered the consequence. And what I want you to see today is how important it is at Christmas 2012 that we realize that as we look at the future, there are dire consequences of allowing darkness to rule over light. Let's look at it and see how Jesus speaks to it. Look at it with me if you would. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. And men, watch this, love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. I want you to imagine for a moment, what Jesus says here is someone would willfully choose to walk away from the light, walk away from the story, walk away from the power of what the light of the world could do. I was reading a friend of mine's commentary this week on the state of where we're at in the world in which we live. And it's interesting. He began to relate a story of what transpired with him. He's a brilliant theologian who lives in New York City, but interacts with people all over the world. And he was meeting in Russia a number of years ago. And in the room, he was the only believer. And the other people there were outside the faith. And he began to talk about what happens when darkness is dominant. When the choice is that Jesus and believing in Jesus is not a part of the formula and is antiquated and disconnected. It's interesting what he said. Many of those who gathered together, brilliant men intellectually, they all wanted to believe, but they chose to stay in the darkness. And as I read his commentary, it related so much to what we're talking about today. The dire consequence of what happens when someone chooses to stay in darkness. And I would say to you, we live in an age where the light is flickering in this country. The very moral fiber of everything that we have believed is flickering. It's flickering not just in political circles. It's flickering in churches across this land, where at one moment they begin to question this Bible. At another moment, they begin to interpret it the way they want to. And ultimately, darkness invades the very essence of the world in which they have been a part of. And here's what I want you to see today as you think about Christmas. It has never been a more important time for our children to know that this story of Christmas is the amazing story of God's redemptive purpose for mankind. This story is not something we should set aside. This is not a moment to let Frosty and Santa Claus get in front of Jesus. This is a moment in which we as his people acknowledge his presence, recognize his power, surrender to his purpose, and yield in such a way in obedience that when people see us, they see Jesus. Because I'm telling you, that is the story of Christmas. And when you think about that, you think about this whole idea of how judgment works and how darkness works. And I want you to think about the contrast, darkness, not light. Think about what it'd be like if we, in this moment, were able to encounter something so amazing that we didn't make a choice. You probably recall last Sunday I told you about my knee hurting. Remember me, I told you, I made a statement. I didn't want to say anything about it publicly because I thought the devil would take advantage of it. Guess what happened as soon as church was over? I was up here watching Nora play and enjoying Frosty and other things that were up here. And I had to scoot out. So I was watching her and looking. I was looking this way. And right over here, just past the baptistry, there's one step there. You know what I did? I fell straight onto my knee and set it back dramatically. And I was sitting there going, I can't believe I just did that. And then I thought, devil got me right there when I said something about it. So you may not always hear me put something public about things, but I want to just tell you that sometimes we need to be wise enough to always choose the light. Let the light shine in our lives. And then I want to show you just one other important Christmas concept. Because I do want you to walk out of here with an awareness that you have at least grasped something. I mean, I can't fathom how motivated I am to make sure I say it the right way so that somebody hears something that would change their life, at least affect their life, and not miss what it is that God has for life. So today, I want you to think about finally, when we get that last verse, there's something powerful that Jesus brings out. And notice what he said, verse 21. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. I want you to see what Jesus says. Our disciplined obedience begins and ends and tells our entire story. In other words, if we just choose to obey in a disciplined way, I'm going to pursue him passionately. In a disciplined way, I'm going to read his word with fervor. In a disciplined way, I'm going to share with vibrancy what Christ has done in my life. In a disciplined way, I'm going to make sure that my pursuit is defined by God. I mean, think about it for a second. What would it be like if all of a sudden every aspect of our story was defined by our obedience? You know what would happen? All of a sudden, our story would change. Because what would happen? Instead of convenience, we would live with conviction. Instead of optional activities, we live with what's vital. And I'm going to tell you, there is no doubt in my mind that one of the most vital things that you and I have responsibility for in this generation is to tell the absolute perfect story of a baby born from a virgin who came into the world to save the world, who was willing to die so that we could have life. And when you think about that, think about the power of that story, that he's been willing to die for us. And my encouragement to you today is when you look at that, and you'll notice he says something very powerful, but he who practices that the truth comes to the light. What he's really saying is our practices lead to power. In other words, we start practicing the right thing, we become powerful. Not for other people to see, but we begin to know that as we entrust them to God, we begin to see him at work in our lives. I want you to think about for a moment, what would it be like if your living faith was directly defined by the deliberate practices you chose to live out in distinct obedience to God's plan for your life? I'll tell you what would happen. Your life would be in a place where you are able to experience the absolute comfort of a God who has known you since before you were formed in your mother's womb. What a powerful, powerful thought. And I want you to think about as we wrap together this Christmas message, that during these days together, we said that there were three distinctive words of wonder we'd look at: joy, hope, and faith. And so today I want to challenge you to think about How joyful are you? Do you have resounding joy? How hopeful are you? Do you have transforming hope? How faithful are you? Do you have living faith? As we come to this moment in which we have the privilege of being able to surrender our hearts to what it is God has for us, I just wonder if you would take a moment. Think about where you are. Think about your journey. Think about what it is that God has for you. And as we come to the culmination of our looking at Jesus at Christmas time, I want us to just take and reflect on just a few other words that cause us to wonder, cause us to be experiencing what it is that God has inside of us that move us to wonder. I just want to mention a few of them to you, because when I think about Christmas, I think about the first word that crosses my mind that moves me to wonder is Jesus, the name above every name. I was having breakfast with one of our members on Friday, and we were conversing about several different powerful moments in our lives, and I was telling him that the very first encounter that I ever had with him and his wife, my wife and I had the privilege of being on fellowship with him a number of years ago, and the way that his wife said the name of Jesus was so absolutely comforting and powerful that every time I think about his name, I think about how she said, Jesus. It's a word of wonder. But not only Jesus, there's also the powerful word Messiah, because without a Messiah, we are hopeless. But because he came to redeem the world, he's a Messiah. Then a third word I think about is Emmanuel, God with us. Aren't you glad God's with us no matter what we face? You see, the truth of the matter is we're all probably going to face things we never anticipated as we look at the future. We'll encounter things we have to deal with, we have to look at and scope out. But to know that Emmanuel is with us, doesn't that give you comfort? What a great word of wonder. What a great word of joy and comfort. And then the final word, the words that I think of, what the angel declared, the angel sang out, glory to God in the highest. And today, that's what we declare. Glory to God in the highest. Isn't it a comforting thought that the greatest glory goes to him? And here's what I want you to realize, that if our story gets ahead of his glory, then we've missed the message of what Jesus can do. But if our story is yielded to his glory, something absolutely transforming will happen inside of all of our lives. And so today, I want to ask you to think about your own life and really ask yourself a simple question. Will you live out your faith? Will it be a living faith? Will it be something when people see you, they see Jesus? If that's the case, then today you've heard something that can move you forward. Would you join me as we pray together? Father, we thank you for the power of your word, and I think about the privilege of being able to declare your truth. Lord, on this day, we give to you everything that we're about. And as we anticipate Christmas, I think about the joy of children. I think about all that they are encountering and experience. May the moms and dads and the grandparents, may they constantly remind every one of our children that the story is bigger than a gift wrapped in paper. The story is about a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes laying in a manger who would change their lives forever. Lord, bless us as we respond to you. We trust you, Lord, to bless in a special way during this Christmas season. Bless our entire fellowship in a powerful way. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.